Can I propose that we allow just to see, just to bring up the verification process with when our legal advisor has been, then we have to just check the other processes, the parliamentary process, before we allow the
thank you, Chair. Just to say that as we are aware that there was a difference in the verification, and already in 2016 a decision of conduct was taken for the verification to happen, because there were issues about whether we did it through the correct route in terms of family trees and all of that. And at that point in time, the chairperson and other members of the executive and Turbine, and the minister then, Minister Mbuthi, instructed that the TSSC had would ensure that an elected AGM happens no later than October 2016. Even then, there were issues around the verification. That's 2015. So the AGM was scheduled for the 22nd of October 2016, and the IEC was invited so that it is assessed for an independent elected process. But that didn't, the AGM couldn't happen, and again, the same issue around the beneficiary list, which was regarded as outdated, appearing in the draft results, the AGM did not succeed. Consequently, the beneficiaries resolved that an interim committee be put in place to oversee the process of verification. And bear in mind, they were put in place to oversee the process of verification and nothing more. And so seven members of the Mandamar PA were appointed as interim committee, and they were tasked to oversee the verification process. The PMC had called the interim committee to advise them that they did not have the administrative power to run the office of the CPA, and that they were only mandated to oversee the CPA. But as you heard in their report, they've done quite a lot of things, building and dividends and everything else as the internal structure. The decision was that an attorney be appointed through the Land Rights Management Facility to try and sort out the verification issue, and on two occasions this office did not succeed. As already indicated, the interim the committee continued to approve payment of dividends to the members that they recognized, although they were not authorized to run the CPA. And a letter of compliance in terms of Section 11 of the CPA Act was issued to the CPA, both in March 2017 and April 2018, again advising what legally they can do and they can't do. And again, the CWANE and partners attending to seek instructions from the Land Rights Management Facility to assist with the verification, because there was an issue about whether the communities themselves trusted the commission to do the verification properly. The instruction was for a re-verification of the list of legitimate beneficiaries, which would start with the original possessed individuals of both in Kanamiswini and Makuraba communities. And this verification was to focus on the city's proximity to 5,000 hectares, as had been submitted by the restitution as part of the North Amara community. Project briefing meetings was held with the service provider on the 26th of April, where the process of the re-verification was outlined. And again, May and June, an attempt to have general meetings did not succeed because there were violent disruptions. So the commission then, in the province, resolved that the service provider do the verification workshops with the tool of separation so that we minimize the issue of disruptions and the violence. And Sanguinitoni group complied with the approach while the Movarada group objected, and that they indicated that they don't trust the department to finish the verification in any partial manner. And service provider was then instructed to proceed with the verification of the one group. And the commission continued to have several meetings with Movarada group. And the commencement of the verification for the Sanguinitoni event started in August of 2018. On the 5th of December, a report for all of the funds that fell within the Sanguinitoni boundaries were submitted, and the total number of risk verified and registered ODIs for the Sanguinitoni ODIs is originally for the individual. It's approximately 448 as I said, and the total number of about 5,500 beneficiaries was verified through the family tree, and that is the next page, page 18, a table of the households and the 448 ODIs as verified, looking at the various farms that are in question. It was only after the portfolio committee visited on the 15th and 16th of November that the Movarada group committed to working with the service provider, and a separate action plan and homestead identification for this commenced on the 7th of December 2018, and we are anticipating to finish this process end of February 2019. And upon the process being finalized, then we should be able to then approach again the ISD, although they might not want to know that they're dealing with the national election, for an elective HM, which will then assist and resolve in some of the tensions that are there. And perhaps to just say that again, the HM can't happen because if there is no verification of both sides, then we can't see that as a legally constituted HM that is able to take decisions on behalf of the product. Much analysis to AS constituted from the inception, which was understood by counterparts. In an effort to try and resolve some of the issues as the portfolio committee instruction when they were there in November, we sought to approach courts to try and freeze the bank of the CPA, and the intention is to try and understand what money went to where, and to who, and under whose authority. And because over a number of years we've tried to get that information and we have not necessarily been able to understand how the payments were happening, and especially because some of the payments are only some beneficiaries are receiving benefits while others are not, and we're not able to define how and why others receive the benefit and why others aren't. And this is something that is happening over a period of years where every time a dividend is declared, only a certain portion of the insurance gets payment. We also wanted an order that would prohibit the attendees from depositing or moving the money into any other account. And really, again, this was just for us to preserve any resources that are there pending some type of resolution to the issue. And again, transfer, remember some of the money goes directly from the Malamala PTY into the Monzo company, and that also that money is frozen until the resolution. And also further that we compel the interim committee to comply with the CPA in that they I have no money to do certain things on behalf of the CPA because they were not elected to do so, and further that proper processes, including government issues and meetings, are held as required by the CPA. The initial approach was that the application is an ex parte application, and which after we spoke with our counsel, advised that it is better for us to go the normal route, and the ex parte would have been an actual application, because there are certain documents that we have not been able to receive from the various parties in order for us to be able to put a solid application forward. And so both the commission and the PSCC have been working together to provide the council with the relevant information so that we strengthen the merits of the case. And the projection is for us to expire before end of February. And I think that the reason that we're going also through a normal process is so that we're able to, through the court process, try and discover and receive all the necessary records that we need, which we have not been able to receive from the various parties. For example, when we went on the 15th of November with the portfolio committee, there was a meeting, community meeting, where allegations were made that there is a hall that is being built on behalf of the community by the CPA, and that hall was built at the value of 18 million. We wanted to try and understand whether those allegations were founded or not, but we were not able to get any information that would be able to assist us to respond to that. I think that this is just a normal operation. I don't know if you want us to speak to the structure, and to say again, reminding the committee that Rwanda Mara CPA was a CPA which was formed in 2014, 15, to take, to take responsibility or to receive the assets which was the land. Because when we started the claim, we started it in phase one, which was acquisition of the land, and the land was acquired and held by Rwanda Mara CPA, which is wholly owned by the beneficiaries, both Mhlanganisweni and Maburaki. And then we helped them, again, through the assistance of transactional advisors, who were independent investors from Milan, to set up the company Mondo, which is 100% owned by CPA, and reports to the CPA, for it to be able to co-manage the new company, which is called Malamara Bay Development, and that Mondo at the time owned initially 30% of the share of the business. So they own the land and they benefit through rental, which goes directly to the CPA, just on the rent, on the land. The company Malamara Bay Development rents and pays land, the money directly to the CPA. And then Mondo as a company owns a 30% share of the Malamara Bay Reserve. And so when the company declares dividends, which they've done every year, the dividends goes into Mondo. And then Mondo would then have to account to the CPA, and then a determination then have to be done with the dividends that have to be declared through the CPA. And the board of directors of Mondo, as indicated, I think the CPA has already presented to who those are. And I think that, as far as I'm aware, we were told in the last session that Uch Director resigned as a director of Mondo, of Malama, also he's still a director. Oh yes, of Maramala, and will be replaced by Dr. Shabang. This slide just gives the table of the breakdown of the finances. Sure, if you want to speak to so that I don't...
Thank you, Honorable Chair. The slide is a reflection of the income that Mondo has generated through the joint venture with the Rattas in Malamala. You recall that we said that Mondo currently holds 30% share in Malamala. So for 2017 financial year, a turnover of 124.4 million was made by Malamala, of which the profit before tax was 7.5 million, then profit after tax was 48.6 million, and a dividend was declared, a dividend of 40 million, of which Mondo got 30%, which translates to 12 million, and then the joint venture partner, which is Rentas Pty Limited, got 28 million of that, which constitutes 70%. And in 2018, the company made a turnover of 119.7 million. Profit before tax, it was 60.6 million. And profit after tax was 3.6 million. A dividend was declared of 34 million, of which 10.2 million went to Mondo, which constitutes 30%, and then 23.8 million went to Rattas Pty Limited, which constitutes 70% of the share. In terms of the income and expenditure, from the 12 million received in 2017 financial year, Mondo paid a dividend of 6 million to the CTA and retained 6 million in the attorney trust account. I think earlier on, as the attorney was indicating, that the money from Mondo, that is the money that the Malamala pays to Mondo, they are held in trust by the attorney. So of the 12 million, 6 million was paid to the CTA and 6 million remained in the trust account. And then in 2018 financial year, the 10.2 million which was received, all of that money is with the attorney's trust account. We decided that because of the, you know, the challenges that the CTA is having, we cannot pay out any more money to the CTA. Let the money be held there until the issues are resolved. And we are busy putting in place policies and procedures for Mondo, as well as to operationalize the company to meet these objectives. Of which the objectives, mainly when it was established, it was to be the business arm of the CTA, because as you may be aware, a CTA is not allowed in law to hold shares in a company which is not listed on the JSE. So in order to go around that legal challenge, and also to separate the land holding from the business, so that if anything goes wrong in the business, the land is protected. So this company was established, it is the one that trades. If anything goes wrong in Mondo, the CTA will still walk away with its land. So that is the rationale. But also to assist the SMMEs in the community with funding, so that they can participate in the procurement opportunities within Malamala. That is one of the key objectives. And then the other one is to also identify other business opportunities that the CTA can participate in. So, yeah, in conclusion, when the verification has been, will be finalized in February, as it is just indicated, so that we can go to an election next year. Thank you, Chairperson.
Members, you have been listening to the progress that has been made so far after our visit to Malamala from the side of the commission. I don't know whether there are any questions before we continue with our honorable
Minister. Thank you, Chair. I think twice or thrice in this last leg of the presentation, say things are going to happen, verification process is going to finalize, going to court, hope to get things done by the end of February. That's one day away. What is the latest? I'm sure you are able to tell if you are 99.9% there, you know, through the verification process and so on. That's
Morning, afternoon, Nadia and Chef. This past weekend, the service provider finalized, we've got the Mshaniswini part of the verification, which has been handed into the RSCC office, and this past weekend we finalized the Mavorata part of the verification, which he must package and deliver to us. And then in as far as the court application, on Monday, PSCC and myself through Telecom had a consultation, and only on the 5th of March is the application then being filed in court by counsel. Thank you.
Any other question on the metropolitans or comments?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Again, we'd like to figure out and find out when the verification will be made to us. Obviously, there's not going to be time to be able to request this through written questions to the department, simply because we're nearing the end of our term. So if I could propose that it can be sent to everybody, we can get a better understanding of what is going on. And then secondly, sir, you mentioned something about an application to the court. Just tell me what application was it that you submitted to the court. And then on a third basis, the application were you speaking of to freeze the bank accounts? Is that the one that you're talking about? Okay, so we're going ahead with it. The court is going ahead with it. And the deputy ministers are, you're in consultation with the deputy ministers on it.
Pardon me for my ignorance, Chair, but have there any verification in the beginning when the claims were launched? Was it also done in such a separate way? If you do the one group and then the other, because we are perpetuating a distinction between the two. And from what Yasmin was saying earlier, they were one, you know. So we are not in any way promoting that oneness. If we do continue on this particular line, we are perpetuating an artificial divide. So this is for me actually problematic. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Few things, Chair. Either in the scope or in the broader sense of the scope. I just want to speak on my own behalf and probably on behalf of my colleagues that were greatly disappointed when you went up there that you didn't come. And I think that point has not been made as strong as I wish to really emphasize it. It was bad of you. No CPA in the country or organ in the country should really fail to attend a meeting with an organ of parliament. It's really unacceptable. The advice you sought and the advice you got was a completely incorrect one. We can't find you. It's Parliament that passed the budget. It's not in the department. I think with due respect to our ministry, which is here represented by 2DM, it's not in the department. The department can't pass budget, any other department. It's Parliament. Budget debates in Parliament every third of March and so on. We can't pass budget for structures that turn around years later to really undermine the same Parliament. Was really bad, bad, bad of you. I've said it 3 times, which I would say 5 times, bad. The advice you had got was wholly undesirable and disingenuous. That should be said. The next point here, which I think I missed, which my mind is now with the Kessler recollection of. In fact, then the following day, you came and you attempted to undermine the chair, one of you and none of you else called that person to order. I don't know if that person is in the room. It was very, very bad, and unacceptable. Parliament can't sit, try and sort out your mess, and then when Parliament spends to try and go to the ground to resolve issues, somebody from amongst you has the audacity to stand in a hall full and undermine the leadership of the chair. Who has delegated power in terms of rules of Parliament, delegated powers of the Speaker, and then undermine the chair in the meeting like it happened, like we saw happen? It has been decent of you as a structure, as a democratic structure, to put a even here tender an apology if you had some conscience to really think and remember it happened. Those 2 points, I thought they shouldn't go not noticed. There are so many stakeholders that Malamala that you easily, if you're outsider, get confused. If you're dealing with so many other issues, get confused as to which one is which. But the two facts I've since established in my mind. Chair, from CSCC and the other area accounts, there was a new appointee that's been introduced. We would like to know how much, I think she's named Virginia, if I got the name right. I have reason to relate to the name and not necessarily the name in the context, but generally. So that's why I still have the name in my mind. How much is such a new appointee getting paid? Chair, again, there was a decision on the trust account to keep the fund until there's a resolution or until such time. Maybe for the lawyer's direct response, I'm aware she's a lawyer, but she must also be aware I'm really quite a hardened, a seasoned politician. So, must we play games in answering the question? Who authorized the expenditure on those funds pending the processes that we all should be at one about agreeing on these processes that were still going to follow? Who authorized that there be expenditure so long on that? Who authorized that? And on what account? So long, Chair, I would wish to just raise, there were 2 preliminary points which I think they should be strong and hard hitting, because we are not authorized to leave this here. Otherwise, as a rural boy, I don't want to insinuate anything else. But now, those 2 earlier points may be noted. We are seriously concerned. You are making a banana of our parliament, of our democratic system and dispensation, the one that benefited you. But now, who authorized that you spend on that money? Who authorized that you spend on that money? How much is our beloved Virginia being paid? Like all of us, by the way. My salary is also clear. It's up there for public consumption. Some call us fat cats. I don't know if you noticed. I don't know if I look like a fat cat. I do know I spend more than 50% on charity and community things. And it's open for any scrutiny. My children suffer like anything. They ask for this or that. They can't get it in 3 months, you know. So whatever our fault, I'm also asking, how much in terms of, I indicated earlier on that your whole setup was based on public sector. So, and we are being hit hard for investing close to around a billion on this whole initiative. So, how much is paid to our new person there? I couldn't ask any other. But so long as I received that, Chair. Thank you.
Thank can I allow that the two questions be responded to, then we continue with the issue of Mr. Chabin? Then we'll be able to ask all the questions, because we've got lots of questions. Mine was transferred from the attorney account to the CPA. The treasurer of the CPA must tell us how much was transferred, when, and where was that money used for, how many people benefited from the treasury of the CPA. But I will come on the issue of the interim, as explained by the CLCC. That currently, we're talking of the CPA, but in real terms, there's no CPA executive. There's no CPA executive. The interim was just established for the verification process, not for the operation of the that very one. So established for one purpose, assist us for us to be able to verify, to re-verify the beneficiaries. But now they jump building the whole building, the office, but immediately right to number one. Where did they get that money? And how much of this was? But before that, can I allow the response to the salary of
the lady,
and also the authorization? I think Eric, you've been writing the question. Over to you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Maybe if I did something the admin would assist me, but I will try and respond on both questions. The first question that how much is Regina being paid? Let me put it to the House as Madam Chair, that in November I did answer some of those questions in the Jukotia, whereby I did make mention that we help Virginia, we look after our students and make sure that they go to school. She has got a legal background, and she has also...
Sorry, Chair, just to back that. I'm sorry, Chair, it's really odd, I just lost them. I think the same stakeholders, with the stakeholders that we met, Dr. Berger got many heads, so you can't refer us to, if I'm right, I may be wrong. You can't refer us to our interaction with another stakeholder, because we're asking this stakeholder, unfortunately we have another case. So, but this stakeholder, if I'm correct, I may be wrong, was not there. So we want to ask from this stakeholder. That's the answer.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, Madam Chair. Yes. The reason why I make mention of that is that Gina is being paid by Madam. It's not being paid by the CPA. So I'm not sure if I need to continue in terms of how much Maramala is paying, Madam Chair. Okay. So basically Maramala is paying Virginia an amount of 40,000 rand a month to try and put everything back. The second question was, who authorized the expenditure in the CPA? So I hope as a community member to say that yes, an interim committee was elected in 2016. However, the interim committee was given that mandate. Those meetings were held between the department and the interim committee, but the community was not taken into confidence in terms of the terms of reference of the interim committee. The community makes or dictates what they want with the money in their land and gives instruction to the committee that is at present at that moment. Thank you, Madam Chair.
I'm sometimes a good listener. When the CLCC was presenting, she indicated that while there were these processes, there were also consultations. I didn't know where that came from. There was consultation with the community to try and clarify some of the issues. So if there were consultations, the community was supposed to be aware that this is an interim committee that will assist in the verification process, but nothing else. And again, you know, sometimes you take committee members for granted because most of them, then we tend to take the decisions on their behalf. But when we were at Malamala on the 15th and 16th of November, we met with the beneficiaries. Beneficiaries were saying, we see things happening, we're not being consulted. So, which is the community. So if the community took a decision, where those people we met there were not part of the of that meeting, because number one, we heard that they've divided, and we have divided Mtanganisweni, and now we are talking of Mtanganisweni and Mubarak. So which community was part of the decision making process? Because Mubarak and Mtanganisweni are one, according to the presentation. The claim was made as one. Now they are telling us about Mtanganisweni. Now they are telling us about Mubarak. Which community? Because we met with the beneficiaries who said, we are not being consulted. Things are happening. Money is being generated. Other students are being funded. Others are getting employed. When you talk too much, you are being sidelined, even not being allowed to be part of the meeting. So I want to know which community to, can we have even the minutes of that community? I think the attorney has got the minutes, because the one who released, who transferred the funds. If there are minutes which contains the resolution of the committee, we'll appreciate that as the committee we have got access to those minutes. I think that will assist us. If there are minutes, you can continue here.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As it has been mentioned several times and also today in the sitting, that the Mtanganisweni community is the only verified membership. So the membership that was verified in 2009 was the one making those decisions and resolutions. At the moment, as alluded by the department,
can you wait, before we proceed, can you talk about the issue of taking the oath? That will bind me. That everything that you are saying in this meeting, regarding the issue of taking the oath before giving evidence, I say it is as a well. Regarding the issue of taking the oath before giving evidence or information before the committee, I've got the right as the chair to issue a general warning that all the information that is shared with the committee must be truthful and binding on your conscience. Secondly, intentionally misleading the committee carries criminal consequences in terms of the Powers and Privileges Act. So we are sure and we believe that whatever that we are saying in front of this committee, we are not misleading this committee, it will have some criminal consequences. That is Mr. Derek Tabini, who's going to provide the information with regards to this Wanamar CPA on the issues as raised by members on this matter. Over to you, the same time? I think you need to indicate that whatever that you're going to say in this committee is the truth, but nothing else. Thank you. Over to you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think where you are leading us at the moment is what the department has also mentioned, that all the matters that are concerned or are issues here is what they are going to present it in a court of law on the 3rd of March. So if that is the route that we are going to take in this matter, I think you, I will plead with you, Madam Chair, to accord and afford us that consultation with our legal team as well, as you have stated earlier that you're going to get your legal team. So if the route is the court processes, which to me is also unfortunate, if we are to sit in a meeting like this and also talk to the issues that directly affect our people and resolve those matters without going to court. But where I'm sitting at the moment, I'm sitting in a position that I see that everything is now leading in that route. So as you read all of that to myself, I would ask, Madam Chair, that we are afforded that opportunity to go and consult ourselves and report back to you and yourself with any matter that is related to that. Secondly, have a meeting with the department. If that is the route that we are going to take to try and fix what has been done wrongly previously from 2013 until today, we sit down and I'm out. And I will also plead as well with the department, with the CSPC, that that meeting takes place. Should it happen that we need to take off, we can able to put it down in an affidavit and also make submissions of such, and which you will have such copies available to yourself. Thanks, Madam Chair.
The order that I'm talking about is the order of all the things that are going to explain to this committee. I understand the other processes that you're talking about, but whatever that you're going to say to this committee, you're taking an oath that you are honest, you are being truthful, whatever that you're going to say. The other things are sacred. So can you please separate it? This is a committee meeting, then you propose the other solution to the problem, then it's a separate matter. I think that would be a progress on what we're discussing here. So those are two separate things. Now the committee is not the court, not what you have, it's a committee meeting. You're taking the oath, you're taking the oath that the information that you're going to provide to this committee is true.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It is duty bound, and as you alluded, that this is two separate matters, but any matter that you discuss in this moment can be used in a court of law. I think that's where we are now. My plea with this committee at the moment is that any further information that we're supposed to submit to this committee, we need to consult and we write and submit that report to this committee. We can agree in terms of the date as agreed earlier on that such reports which will be submitted to this committee, either by myself, is put in writing in a form of an affidavit and get submitted, which that copy will be able to be circulated to the members of this committee. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Honourable Ngoni.
Thank you so much. Chair, we would not want to interfere in the process of you guiding the meeting, and
100% confidence. So you've done it over the past 5 years, and I've got full confidence. However, see, I just wanted to correct certain things coming from the last speaker who said that you are saying that anything you say here, this is Parliament, in Parliament, or in any other meeting of Parliament, in which you're at your committee, can be used against you in a court of law. I now tell you in front of your lawyer that that is false. Absolutely false. Let me clarify the second thing. We had a 5 minute break to get our legal team here. And you are saying we were shaping up for the court. You are really insinuating that we were shaping up for the court. Again, that is false. Legal team is for legal guidance to Parliament, like to municipality, like to any other organ. Even a meeting at Enden, Wiley, or Shell, or BP, they can have their meeting, but in the presence of the legal, for guidance. So once again, you are reading offside, twice already. I'm just correcting that. That's why I apologize to the chair. We don't want to interfere in her process of conduct. I'm in guiding the meeting. But twice already, you are just scoring own goals and offside from an offside position. So we just have to correct you. We have not had in 25 years a process of Parliament ensuing to a court of law. Let me then chair on the current issues that the chair is requesting you to do or directing you to do. The oath converts into a legal thing outside Parliament. Remember, Parliament has got its own original power. It doesn't need the assistance of court. No. Got its own power. We are the highest office in the land. That's why the Deputy President will be answering in Parliament this afternoon. Deputy President, second in command in the country, will be answering to Parliament. So Parliament has got its own original powers. It doesn't need assistance of the court, but respecting that you are illiterate and a very learned man yourself, I would say that you got it wrong there, respectfully. You got it absolutely wrong. So the oath is the oath for an internal process of Parliament. Yes, peggery, when you lie, or for lack of a better word, when you don't tell the truth deliberately or misguide, then that is definitely an offense. It's equivalent to perjury that you find in any other court of law, right? So that was the point about the oath, so that this honorable committee does not get deliberately misled by you. Now, a reasonable man, ask your lawyer about a reasonable man, I'm not legal, but your lawyer will tell you about a reasonable man would warmly and kindly take to oath and say, in front of these people, I know that what I'm saying is true. I can take oath now. I can take oath now. But now, lastly, Mr. Derek is talking to us about the process that the department will ensue. We are not the department. We are the committee of parliament. Now, there is the law, there is an issue in law that, again, your lawyer will advise you about, the matter sub judice. There is nothing sub judice about the date that will come. An ordinary conversation between you and this man, with next to you, we don't know if it will be sub judice tomorrow. So you cannot use the future to say a matter is sub judice. So it is absolutely incorrect for you to ask that you be given a chance to do whatever after consultation, because this is all leading to court. And lastly, you are then saying that it's regrettable if matters are run illegally. Wouldn't, thank you, great, wonderful, marvelous. You are dead correct. We don't want civil matters of the people and communities to always clog the court. Pity. You should have said that when your lawyer wrote to us when you visited Malamala. When you visited Malamala, your lawyer came in and said, yellow card, legal. You introduced legality, but you are saying we must be non-legal. You are tying our hands, but you are playing on a legal plane. But you are saying we must be non-legal, and you are tying our hands. It's an unfair game you are playing, Guterres. It's a very, very unfair game. Because you are linked up, you have still brought down a lawyer now. Now you are saying to us, we are the ones who are driving matters to a legal eventuality. For we are very, very protective of the power of parliament. We never want to confuse the role of the three arms of the state. So we want issues resolved based on our original power. I would really persuade Chair that we can take the oath. If he doesn't take the oath, at that point I would request Chair a break and that you do the legal consultation now. Because if he doesn't take the oath, then there's so much serious stuff that will ensue, including Mr. Filzane's thing. We also have a power of resolution, by the way. Once a resolution is taken in the House, it binds every other South African. Once a resolution is taken in the House or in the committee, so all you need to do is to call this committee so that you don't go the resolution route. If you don't want to take the oath, you might, I suspect, you will compel us to take a resolution. A resolution of Parliament is binding on everything else in the land, as far as I know. So, unless it's proven unlawful. But an ordinary resolution, I persuade you that you pursue once more the possibility of Derek confirming that he is under oath and accepting. If he doesn't accept oath, Chair, I hope that we have a small break. We look at how to deal with someone. It will be the first thing to advise that we have a South African who cannot take an oath in Parliament. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I think covered by the Honourable Nguyen. Just two things that are pertinent to me. Honourable Fultani mentioned earlier about the removal of the lawyer. I just want to ask, before we carry on with Mr. Ntabeni's declaration of sorts, the reason why the attorneys didn't bring any of the necessary documentation with regards to a financial report is we need to understand as well that they act under the guidance of Monza, right, of the CPA. So I'd just like to ask the two attorneys here whether they've got instructions from the CPA not to bring the financial records today. It's a question I have to ask, and I will ask it, and I expect an answer. And then secondly, I'd also like to, before this carries on right into the Deputy President's question time, I'd like to know if we're going to be addressing the initial part of this report as to how the actual Mara-Mara deal came about, as opposed to concentrating only on this, because I'm aware of time constraints. Thank you.
Can the lawyer respond to the question, then I'll come up with the last comment
made by Honourable Nguyen. Like I said, I've got the financial audited reports from 2013 to 2016. We've done our best to get the 2017 2018, and then we're hoping to find the auditors. The department already contacted them in December. The only thing that we did not bring with, and that is just because I don't understand, we don't need so much detail to give a breakdown. I gather understanding to give a breakdown, and this is how far I can take it.
So, in other words, no, you didn't get instructions?
Instructions to do what?
To not furnish the financial
report? No, definitely not, no.
Another one, Bunny. As we have said, I don't know what makes it difficult for Honourable Sabine to hesitate to take an oath if he showed that everything that they were doing was right. Because if you're right, you're right. Normally, wherever you are, wherever you go, you are right. If people ask you, you will respond accordingly. But nevertheless, as Honourable Ndumi indicated, Section 17, Subsection 1B of the Powers and Privileges Act. If a person refuses to take an oath, that person is committing a criminal offense. Again, let me bring this to your attention. Section 56 of the Constitution provides the power up to the committee to summon information from any person. That is why we are requesting the lawyer to bring the information to us. When there is refusal to provide information to the committee will not hesitate to summon that information from everyone. No one is about to that. Initially when I asked you to come in, it was after the presentation made by the CSCC that you were part of all the process. I don't think that needs further consultation before you respond. You were part of the whole process. You signed this constitution, which included Nsakanswene and Mvurang. This is the constitution you signed. 2013, the last page. Here's your name there. You signed as a witness. The other signed. Richard Sibui, Sambo Perin Zamani, Sambo, on the 19th of October 2018. What we were asking from you was to respond to the issues as outlined by the CSCC. You started with this process from the beginning until the end. Until now, you are the board, you are the member of the board. You are the chairman of the CPA. What was your understanding with regards to this case? So what consultation, is there any consultation that is needed on that matter? On something that you know? On something that you were fully involved in? You know all the operations. If no one will be able to it's a mere you will explain to me. But what consultation do you better need? So can you please take an oath and clarify this matter based on the information provided by the CLCC, then, and also the information that is in front of us that confirms that you were part of the process defined in the constitution that doesn't talk of Nsanganisweni, but it talks of both Nsanganisweni and Mvurapa, which they decided to form Nwandama. That is it. There's no presentation needed. Don't be afraid. Take an oath. Take up. Tell us the information. What is it that you know about this PPA from the beginning until now?
Madam Chair, my response earlier was based on what you read. Therefore, I had to maybe just take a deep breath of and think of what you just said. Yes, I've been involved long before until now, even though I'm no longer involved in many of the operations of the CPA. However, I was involved. So on the issue of me taking the committee from where we started until today, which I haven't repeated at any given time, which I don't have a problem with that. That part I do understand. The only part I did not understand is when I was supposed to talk to something which can be used against me, and the court processes has been mentioned. So therefore, any person who will talk and try to think of how do you move from here. However, thanks a lot, Madam Chair, and also thank Honorable Muni for clarifying the position where I'm sitting at the moment. My explaining where we come from now, I got involved from
2008.
Take that.
Tell us
that.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes. What I'm going to say now is the truth for my involvement since the inception of the CPA. I hope that is yes.
Take your oath. I, Derek, whoever, Pavini, I confirm that whatever
okay.
I am going to talk to this committee, simple, take an oath. You know, my Derek, why?
Thanks, Madam Chair. I, Derek Ntabini, what I'm going to say to this commission today is the truth. The committee is the truth and nothing but the truth. It will be of the best of my ability and what I know from the inception of the game. Okay, my involvement started in the year 2008. In fact, what happened in 2007, my father, who later passed away, was the one who was collecting money for the CPA so that they can able to get a legal team who will assist them, because there were court processes that were supposed to begin. Unfortunately, he passed away. So such happened from that time where I got involved and got the legal team. Fast forwarding to 2012. In 2012, we were in court, in Lincoln Court, and that court process went through to the Supreme Court until today, Constitutional Court. So that was the process that came to where we are today. So what happened is, a lot of things happened during that time. The only thing that we wanted on our side when we go to court is our land. To such an extent, the then minister at that time commended us and said, you are the first community who wants the land. Most communities, what they want is only money. But you want the land because you want to work the land. So from that time, we continued, and that's when we started having meetings to the department. And the land was bought in 2013. In 2013, when the land was bought, it was Mshanganisweni from the beginning. It was never Manguraka at all. If you go and look at the submissions that were submitted to Parliament, copy, I think the department can also avail it to yourself, it speaks of Mshanganisweni. The sale agreement between the previous land owner and the department speaks of Mshanganisweni. Any court processes thereof speaks of Mshanganisweni. However, towards the day when the land was supposed to be purchased, or it was purchased already, where you see that constitution also has the name Maburaka, that's when the meeting was held between ourselves and the department. And at that time, it was everyone was still new into these processes. We didn't even know, we never had any land settled in the sunset, which certain groupings were put together. However, in those community meetings, both groups were brought together into a meeting. That is the reason why we put it into that constitution. That was the word of the department. So the department, together with us, we got into where the land was bought, the constitution was adopted by Maburaka and Mshanganisweni. If you can see there, it states clearly that both Mshanganisweni and Maburaka adopted this constitution. Yes, consultations were there, but some of these things were going on this road for the first time. fast forward to 2014 when there is the first AGM for Guantanamo City A. That's where everything started collapsing. The groups could not hold a continuous meeting till today. So it started then. However, what we mentioned from our side, I also mentioned, together with in those meetings of the JCC and all of that. If you can look at the minutes of the JCC, if the department can avail it to yourself, you will see that the issue of Maburaka and Kanansuin was discussed as far as that time. Verification of Maburaka was never there. Even today, when the department presented, it's still yet to be concluded. So from 2013 till today, Maburaka does not have a verification. Who is the member in Maburaka? However, a year later on, we were told that 960 members are what was used to purchase the land. Therefore, the department came in and with the interim committee to try and see who is from where. That process, which they also mentioned that it never took place. So all of this brought us to where we are today. That's what I can say in terms of the two groups. However, it does not mean there is no solution to that. This involves people. If the department can go to people and discuss it with people, people will guide the department in making the right decision. I thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Senator. If the department can go to people, how starting? I don't know when the consultation was done. What the department really meet another one? Were you not meeting with the community, with the people who were involved? Then I think we'll just respond with that one. Mr. Tabby, this is a hierarchical level of constitution. Iyavela as a witness. And the constitution, I kulume in Shanghai Plain. I kulume with both in Shanghai Plain and Mubarak. What witness are in? What is it that you're witnessing? Secondly, we note your question. If Mubarak was not touched, there was an indication that Mr. Perisago is from Mubarak, who was the chairperson of the CPA executive. How was Perisago from Mubarak being elected to be the chairperson of Mwandamiri if Mubarak was not touched of the group? When have you started to know that now, because they are divided, then you don't, when did you take that decision, that Mubarak is not part of us? Because this constitution was not supposed to talk of Mubarak. The sentence is here. This constitution was supposed to talk about Mshanani Sweni, which is Mwandamiri. But it talks about Mshanani Sweni and Mubarak. In Genadani Mubaraka La, if you are saying Mubaraka was not part until the department came and called you together, then Mubaraka was. Can you clarify those issues? Umi Sesambo, number one. Why am I from Mubaraka and the chairperson in Mwandamiri because Mubaraka was not part? But number one, that, yes. Why number two, what are you now in a land? General Bushokuchi, you started this process some years back from the beginning. Then you started the constitution, which clearly talked about
and is there any evidence for that? Now we are in front of this committee. We don't know how Muraka came in, but we found this document. We talked about Mr. Antoine and Muraka. What is it that you're citing? Honourable Member, can you just note the evidence? Honourable Member, can you listen to the presentation by the Centre? Mr. Robinson?
Thanks, Honourable Chair. I just wanted to ask the Lantan Commission, the exclusion of Mabaraka with regard to the verification process, if Mabaraka was not included in this initiative, how would it have affected the outcomes of this land plan, and would this land plan have actually been deemed gazetted without them?
And also to the Commission, because Mr. Mkabini is saying that the verification of Mabaraka started now. Can you be clear? By the Constitution, Ekuruma Richard and Tony Hani, then Mabaraka. But Mr. Mkabini is saying there's no verification that was done. The Mabaraka, if Mabaraka verification has been done now.
When we started negotiating in 2013, we were instructed that we must negotiate towards the settlement of the king, and when we did the negotiation, the representatives were appointed and Derek and Mr. Sambo were the two, and I think the mindset in somebody else who was part of that. So every time any decision is needed to be taken, the community will be together with their representatives to be present, and they will be given an opportunity to take whatever they do to their leader and to the community. It happens every time there was a decision that needed to be taken. At times it would be Derek only who would attend, and that he would say that he had to fly in and the others were supposed to drive. But we always made sure that there was a representative. There were multiple meetings with the broader community, with the committee, and with the individuals who were representing the community. I remember two meetings, two of them which happened at the airport in Mpumalanga, and the main speaker was the Minister of Rural Development and Economic Affairs, Minister Kunti, and a presentation was even made by the previous owner on a proposed settlement solution in terms of the partnership. Derek and the committee and broad representation were there, and they were happy with the presentation and included everybody. And this was even before we got to the signing of the agreement. So even when the matter was in court, our understanding was that they were one community. And even when the minister called a meeting in 2016 when he was trying to talk about the issue of the verification, when he gave the impression that the PSC must now go and prepare for the next AGM, that was always clear that there is this community. I remember there was a Gogo who stood up and said, the reason they use the name Mantama is because they customarily emanate from one traditional community, and that they are separated by this river called Wandamati, which is why they are using the river as the name, because it joins them and they come, they are one. So at no time in my own understanding, I'm not speaking on behalf of anyone else, did I perceive that these communities were not one, or that they did not want to have the claim settled in the manner that it was settled. Even when
the report was submitted to court. They had an opportunity to then bring to the Constitutional Court the assertions which were correctly and the whole affair. We want no part. There was no objection that was raised. The president of the country then, the Honorable President Jacobson, went and handed over the title deed in public with the whole community there. No objection was raised even at that point. So for us now, after the fact, to be told that in fact they only recognized one, was a surprise to us. And the question on whether we would have settled the claim in the manner we did, we probably wouldn't have, which is why I communicated to the representatives that if you are now saying that this claim is only for the benefit of the students, then it does not make sense then for us to have then settled the claim in the manner in which you settled it. And therefore, that's why my claim would be, then the matter must go back, the assets be taken by the state, and the review and unbundling of the claim so that it's then settled differently. Because the understanding was that this is for the broader benefit and all of the community. And now that it appears that it is for the benefit of the few, it is also incorrect to say that there was no verification that happened for the Masra. If you understand, which I think there is understanding, in any case, as you settle the claim, you will continuously have to deal with the question of verification, especially because we've got OPIs who pass away and then the various modifications that continue to have to be addressed. Yes, we acknowledge that there was a question that was asked around whether we followed the same testing in the context of the family tree on North Russia versus the country. But those issues are issues that obtain in any claim and are issues that we can resolve. And all we individually need is consensus from the representatives of the community. And for me, therefore, if Derek and the CCA representatives at the time and the others, they were the leaders of the community. And the obligation was on them to ensure that everything that happened is done according to the money that they were given from the community. So they cannot now come and say it is the department. They were elected and mandated to take responsibility on behalf of the community, which we went there to from time to time. And at no time did they stand up in any of those meetings, including those of the minister, to say we are no longer representing this community and therefore we object to how business has been settled. So for me, all we're asking for is can we get direction? How do we then deal with the issue of a claim that was settled in a way where Mata Mari represents a collective of all of these people, where now we've got a sector that's saying, no, we don't recognize that. Then I think that legally it means that we have to reverse the entire process. And then the question is, how do we then move forward thereafter?
I think that I have responded to you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The first question was in terms of the signing of the constitution, which my signature appeared there. Yes, I did witness the constitution, and what I witnessed there is after the consultation that happened between the Mhlanganisweni group and the department, who consulted in doing the constitution. Initially, Madam Chair, if you can see, Malamala has got only 5 farms. The department officials know it very well. We went after we were told that we need to establish a CPA. 16 members that come from the 5 farms were elected so that they can be a committee of the CPA. Later on, there was a change of mind that Mhlanganisweni or everyone must be part of that. So, in a community meeting, which the department is aware of. People from another farm were released from that meeting, and only the five were left and 16 were elected. So that when they come back with IEC, there will be a vote whereby there will be a chairperson and those positions. And 15 members, as it is on the constitution, will be left to run them. So the change of mind did not come from us. That is the reason why we are where we are at the moment. In terms of Perisambo, as you see him there, Perisambo is the chairperson of Mhlanganisweni in the Kruger National Park, where there's Gumundwane and all other teams in the Kruger National Park, where the department as well. So the mistake they made and rectified and group people in the Kruger National Park as the way they were dispossessed. Mr. Mkalasi, yes, is from Aurak. He was one of the committee members that was established on that day of the constitution, which later on those meetings started collapsing. In terms of membership of the CPA, at the very same document, which is the constitution.
Before you process, why Mr. Mkalasi was elected as a member of Mwandamare, why he's from Mburata, if Mburata was not part of the whole Mwandamare CPA, why?
Thanks, Madam Chair. That's where the problem started, that how do you get unverified members to a committee? So, that did not start from us working the CPA committee from that time. It started from the community. So, the Mahurata were not part of the membership. However, people were in positions in the CPA. That was not us as the CPA at that time doing. It was never us. It was a known thing that Mahurata was never or is not verified. So, verification or processes that was supposed to happen before the settlement of the claim was supposed to have taken place so that we don't get to where we are. And it's prolonged for so many years. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
That are you aware that this constitution is binding? This constitution, with your signature, which talks of Mhlanganisweni and Burata, which is the constitution of the Mwandamari CPA. Now, what you're talking is not in this constitution, something different. After you change your mind, but the constitution still exists.
Madam Chair, just to clarify on that, if you look at the very same constitution 3.9, when it talks about members, it does not say what you just mentioned now. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. I don't know whether he is off the oath or whether he's still talking under oath. That's the first point for me to clarify. If he is still under oath, then under oath he has contradicted himself. Earlier, he said both groups were finally brought together as per the department's instruction. He didn't use the word instruction, but something, a word that meant the same thing. Now, he's denying that. That's why it's technically important for me, for the committee, to know if he's still under oath, or whether the statement under oath ended with his principal deposition. If he is still, then he is contradicting himself right under oath, and maybe that takes us to another critical letter. Thanks.
Honorable Robinson.
Honourable Chair, also just to mention what Honourable Bhutani is indicating, I've personally seen Perry Sambu's name on both Mara Mara contracts with Awantamhari, as well as the Kruger National Park, which is one of the main reasons why I actually initiated this, because I wanted to know how is it that beneficiaries could be on both. So I suggest that Mr. Zabin goes back and recollects, because I've seen both of those names. And then also the CRCC indicated earlier, when I asked the question about whether Mabaraka's involvement would have meant the actual finalisation of the claim, and you said no, it would have been finalised otherwise, but you were instructed to finalise it. Who instructed you to finalise it?
The last one.
Correct me if I'm wrong, I'm sure that I heard you say that you were instructed to finalise the claim. You must have been, otherwise you wouldn't have done all the verifications. Who instructed you to finalise the claim?
Remember in my presentation I indicated that the matter was in court and the constitutional court, and before the matter was going to be heard, we then received an instruction from the minister that he had a discussion with the community and that we must then get to negotiate that deal with the case. So that was the instruction.
Honourable Chair, with your indulgence, was that on the steps of the constitutional court? After the Superior Court that denied it and said, and as well as the Land Claims Court, it said now that this is non-feasible. So I need to ask the question now quickly, and I'm glad that the Deputy Minister is here, because Honourable Quindy is not sure to be able to answer as to why, after indicating that they weren't going to follow through with this exorbitant amount, why is it that on the steps of the Constitutional Court, they declared and they settled and said, okay, well, we're going to now purchase this property for 250 million rand more than what the original offer was of 751. I'd just like to get clarity on that, please. Or through the Deputy Minister.
Thank you, Chair. Just on the issue of the amount, I can't respond on other one. I'm hoping that maybe the MRS will respond. But if you remember in my presentation, I did indicate that you have to look at the offers from 2008 and understand that already in 2008 the landowners were asking for about 900 plus million. So when we negotiated by 2013, the issues that were at hand were the values that had escalated and the fact that they were asking for much more. So when we settled the 71,000 per hectare, it was a negotiated amount. They were asking for much more, and remember, we indicated that in the court document, in the land claims court, in the initial hearing, our valuer had conceded that he had not valued all of the property, which is why his value was lower. And so even as we went to negotiate, we were on the basis that our valuation, which was 30,000, had been not acknowledged by the court. So the landowners who were now negotiating with us across the table were basing their negotiation on the valuation that had been adopted, had been supported by the court. And so 2008-09, they already wanted 900 plus million today. And so we negotiated at 71,000. Okay. So it was not a situation of paying over and above, it was a situation of paying the values that were negotiated between looking at valuations that were done by the landowner and the valuator for the claimant community.
Still on the same matter, Honourable.
Yes.
I wanted to avoid the.
Okay. Well,
I'll raise a question then. It will not.
Okay. Well, I'm deep your indulgence. There was a 460 million rand offer The minister in Quincy indicated that it was exorbitant and they were not prepared to spend that amount of money. Then there was a 751 million rand. Well, it was 640 or 400, but then there was a 751 million rand offer, which is here. Again, minister in Quincy said, it's exorbitant, we're not going to spend that money to the department. The department's not going to spend that money on one claim. When it got to the Constitutional Court, and this is what I'm hoping the Deputy Minister can stand to, when it got to the Constitutional Court, it didn't even enter the Constitutional Court. Before the Minister then in Quincy, the then Minister in Quincy indicated, okay, well, we're willing to settle, we're willing to negotiate out of court. What I need to know from the Deputy Minister is, because the Minister in Quincy is not sure, why two previous offers were denied indicating that the department never had the money to spend this amount of money, yet when it comes to the Constitutional Court, we said let's settle for 989 million rand as opposed to the 750 million rand prior offer, which is a question I'm asking because Honourable Quincy is not sure. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. On the later statements by my colleague regarding the disparities of the amounts, I want to humbly suggest that we deal with that separately. For now, our focus is on Derek's statement. I'm not saying it was a surprise because I'm suggesting that we deal separately with it. I'm going back to Derek. He says, under oath, while he was saying under oath, then the constitution was signed by both groups. That I'm quoting. Which means he acknowledged that there were two groups here when the constitution was signed. But today he is giving us the impression that there was nothing about the other group. That we can claim here in Parliament, I can call the guy who deals with this. I've got his number. He can play that piece for us. He said, then both groups signed the constitution. He knew what he was doing. He knew what was happening. And this is corroborated by the statement by the CLCC, who said at no stage, or we could say, although they are putting the issue in different ways, but she said, her impression was that there were these two groups were together. So, that's a statement that he made under oath in this second one, I'm quoting in verbatim. So we need clarity on that. Sure. Thanks.
Thank you.
That we were literally going off track now. I think it's important that we must ascertain those kinds of facts. Whether the two existed in the beginning, whether the two have been merged or united after, I think those are the critical things that has to be established. And I'm very happy that Honorable Tommy is saying there are indeed audio recordings that can confirm what had happened at the time of the signing ceremony. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chair. The matter is quite involved with the DHS, and that's why we set aside the, it was almost a week that the chief would authorize us to have in order to go there to Malamala. The issues are dropped. Check quickly in a nutshell and I round up everything on my side for the day. I do not think there's another voice that's raised the issue of Malamala in Parliament before mine, and I don't wish to take any credit, but I just want to raise it. I picked it up in a seminar where the issue of willing buyer, willing seller, and the issue of just and equitable and the issue of expropriation without compensation came. Those three scenarios came in that context in Johannesburg. It was the same day that the report of the high-level panel was being taken to the chairs and leaves, and I was away in that seminar in Johannesburg. In the intellectual community, Malamala stood as a strong indication of the lack of will on the government part to usher in a just and equitable, because the government was not willing to allow a process of court. I want to say then, Chair, fast forward to the point when we were there in November, December, whatever the date was. When we were there on day one, I raised myself and other colleagues and other comrades the same issues that our colleague Honorable Robertson is raising. But I think he is entitled to raise them, Chair. Yeah, I would agree with him and tell him he is entitled. But we raised those and they were answered. There was an issue about the valuer. There was an issue about the valuations and the valuer that really admitted to have made an error in valuating. So if you are a minister standing and opposing a matter in court, only to find that the techno-scientific basis on which you stand has proven to be flawed, then you can then at that point legally, and in terms of conscience and consciousness, you can then ultimately change your position. But as we said in this very same meeting, at that point there was consultation with the community. And in previous judgment, that judge, I forget his name, because he must be cited, I think he's been famous for me. This judge says that no, these people only had heart and whatnot. They have no capacity to run such a complicated seven-star facility and so on and so on. So the logic of the court, especially that court of appeal, was definitely flawed and contrary to the policy of our constitution and direction of government, certainly. So, Chair, at the level of questioning the transaction, I think myself, from what I speak, and I do know, not in a bad manner, horrible, I do know quite a number of colleagues who were able to attend day one at Malamala. We are clarified and addressed and very comfortable. Any conference can be held by the main activists anywhere. We can answer about the transaction and why it was desirable to buy the assets.
Sorry,
the policy.
Chair, what was this?
No, sorry,
The question that I asked is directed at the Deputy Minister. I'm sorry, Honourable Longini. The question that I asked is directed at the Deputy Minister because the Minister is not sure.
No, the Deputy Minister will answer.
Thank you. Because the issue is about financial response, right? Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Longini. You can carry on. Thank you.
No, thank you, Chair. I'm not really answering, but we're not a colleague that's passing each other. Anyone, I have a right to propose 1 o'clock, someone can stand, even if I propose the change, and propose for a past one. I mean, it's the same subject matter. There's everyone here, there's a public, our meetings are in the open. I am clarifying the where we are, where did this whole thing come from? And I am claiming that I know where it came from, and I have made indication. I am also indicating that yes, department, we remember the clarity that was given how the matter got out of court. And I do know that quite a number of us were answered on day one in Malamala. So that's why I wanted to also agree with Oragi Mandela that the track is now on disbursement and funds within that framework of the billion that we spent on the assets. That's where, from where some of us sit, the track is. The crux is on what then happens to the assets that our government gave us. As to whether our government should have got us the assets, I would die defending that it was the right decision to do. It was the correct decision to do. But what then is happening? Then, Chair, I wanted to ask some few questions and make others. There was a trip to China. That's the trek we were on. I think Oren Magello wanted to raise this when we had Mr. Derek under oath. There was a trip to China. How much was that trip? If you can answer now or later. Later could mean Monday, Tuesday, when we get the other report. How much did that trip cost? And what was the purpose of that trip? Just a report of that trip to China. Right. Linked to the China report, Chair. Earlier on, I asked the question about authorization of spending and all that. But the beneficiaries, the Derek and the whole collective, the beneficiaries, some people are not benefiting, others are benefiting. Boma 60, 30,000 like in year 2017, Boma in the year 2016, 60,000. But then the whole number of other legitimate beneficiaries in terms of objectivity who are not benefiting. It's like the apartheid system. When this child, white and apartheid, unashamedly, would get a sponsorship of 30,000 from the state, this black child would get, two rand from the state, you know? So there's this thing about the current expenditure that we have, that some are getting, others are not getting. So, would you agree with us, would you agree with us that until there's clarity on who is eligible and not eligible, and I'm not diffusing the question by colleagues that, or as Ganeka says, there were groups and there was a measure process, but I'm raising a separate financial question. Would you agree that up until that playing field is level as to who's the beneficiary and who's not, the funds need to be stopped, trust account holder, lawyer. The funds need to be stopped. If you don't agree still, we have power to decide on that one. We definitely have power to decide on that. Until, don't disturb the lawyer, please. You're also legal. You're not even, don't disturb the lawyer because she's the trustee, I mean she holds the fund. No, I wanted her to hear the point. I don't understand your face when I make it that. I want her to hear because she must, if possible, also respond and say, the funds, the flow of funds ought to stop until there's clarity that these people in the room, as an example, when I mean all of us in the room, are the beneficiaries, then the system is actually works out cleanly and transparently, including the governance structure and the financial system. Then at that point, otherwise, if funds continue to be dispersed, Chair, the funds continue to be dispersed at the expense of the biblical one, I don't know, but there was a wrong son who had all the insecurity. Blessings. There was a wrong son who ran away with blessings. Very, very ugly. The mother had a ploy, and then this wrong son took away the blessings that belonged to the other. The blind father, unfortunately. Check the 18 million is the last one. Chair, you alluded to the 18 million structure. Simoneland to Power Los Angeles, somewhere there, that's all. Can you please give us some preliminary information and follow us with a written one? We know between Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, by Monday you will be having a clear 4 or 5 pager on that hall. And we don't condemn the hall. You mustn't think you are prejudiced. Great to have committee things. But please clarify us. We were there, you saw footage, ne? We'll play you footage, I'll send you on WhatsApp footage when we were there, walking about there in that, it was before voter registration, but we were walking about in that 18 million structure. My rough guess, I'm not an engineer or quantity surveyor, that so far it looks like 800,000 structure at best. But is it an 18 million structure? Demystify, respond, and put us at ease that structure, that what we were there. There were about 20 cars, we were there. We got in there, we looked around, we saw the complete building, we saw the hall that's still under construction, still works, and some brick and mortar work still underway. Is that an 18 million structure? The last one, legal advisor, either herself or yourself, on fund. How much is she paid? Thank you for answering that, Miss Virginia. You take 40,000. I get paid more or less about the same amount, by the way. I'm not comparing jobs, though. But and my colleague there. So, in the legal advisor, how much is she getting paid? How much is the legal advisor getting paid on the, or there she starts moving? No, it's an easy thing. In a new carbon fellowship, it's very democratic and easy. I get 40,000 somewhere there. I mean, it's an easy thing, and it will be terminating now in April. I'll be looking for a job, so far. So, sir, you have an idea how much the legal advisor is getting paid? We want to resolve here. To us, we might resolve that to increase the thing of the legal advisor, or to what, or to, you know. So please, can you give us an idea, like you have done about this Virginia, at what cost do we have the legal advisor? To the best of your ability, I think you can answer. They really smart questions. There's nothing very complex. Truly, Chair, thank you. That's all I would ask for the day, and suggest, check given time, that probably the committee could then meet after getting the answers, including answers to my colleagues, by the way. Then the committee can meet and have resolution. Thank you.
Honourable Chairman?
Chairman, I'd like to hear something from the Treasurer of the CPA in terms of the finances. What is her role, and how much is she managing as the Treasurer of the CPA? And I think she'll have a comment on all the other comments about transactions and payments.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Just as a point of clarity, and to assist, to add to what Honourable Moon is saying, if this structure is going to cost 18 million rand, surely there should be an engineer that's going to sign off on that structure, building plans, etc., etc. So possibly, to add to what Honourable Moon is saying, is possibly they could furnish us with the engineer's plans or the sign off for this building, and possibly the bit of quantities as to how it is that they have come to an 18 million rand title or budget, if it is in fact 18 million rand. I don't think we've established that yet, but if we do establish it at 18 million rand, possibly a bit of quantities, just to allude to that. Thanks.
I'm told to use old bricks.
The questions that I wanted to raise from Virginia. Is there any battery policy? Do you have any battery policy? Don't respond now. No, the question. Because while we were there, we were informed that the selection is very much selective. Others are benefiting. Some children of others, those who are talking too much, they are not benefiting. Then the interim committee. I think we need to now get the voice of the chairperson and the treasurer. The interim committee, the work of the interim committee was here. And the members of the interim committee were 7. But the other nothing about that. I think they are more than 15. Invitation that they got to the person. Among 7, or by the interim executive committee, currently 7 members. I mean. So, Lababane, Ms. Kethelenina, Ogochi, or their friends of the interim committee, or they are providing support to the interim committee. And why is the interim committee perform what they are not supposed to perform? Your responsibility was to ensure that the verification process runs smoothly. But you are building offices, you are building what was, you are sharing the dividend. Who gave you the mandate to do that? Because the mandate, according to the presentation from CLCC, is clear. Assist us with the verification, which will lead to the AGM, which will elect the executive committee. Then the other one, you are saying you are transparent based on the presentation that has been presented by the deputy chairperson, Mr. Mtombe. While you met with the beneficiaries, in your meetings there are people who are not being allowed to be part of the meeting.
You have got securities in your meeting which must check who is coming in, whether that person who is coming in, if the person is a very talkative one, that person is not allowed to come in. No, advisor, don't nod your head. You are not part of the meeting. You will respond to your question. Because if you are nodding, you are saying that the beneficiary is what they are saying. It's not correct. And you are not part of that meeting. So don't nod your head. So on the record, I'm not talking what is in my mind. I'm talking what you have heard from the beneficiary. Unless if you know deep down, you can be able to answer all the questions. Then I will give you that opportunity to do so. But now, I'm talking to the interim committee. If you are saying you are transparent, why are you not allowing all the beneficiaries to come to the meeting? You present what you wanted to present. You have exceeded your mandate. You jump out of your mandate and do things that you're not supposed to do in the first place. That is why all this confusion now. What Eric has proposed, I think, is what you have said when we meet in Malamal. That can you come together, the two groups, to resolve this issue. But you have failed. That is why there's another route to take now. Which will make both parties. No, even not both parties, because Mubaraka is not benefiting. Which will make all those who are benefiting now not to benefit any sense anymore until this matter is resolved. We have said, guys, can you please sit down, resolve this matter, make sure that these things are being corrected, you run the CPA properly. You talk of 250 beneficiaries. According to the record, beneficiaries are 900, households are 910, six in this family. Advice, I'm not talking to you. Please, can you ask me? This thing of not in the head. Are you saying what I'm talking is nonsense?
No.
No, just the guy. It's an advice of the CPA. I don't know what is it that is advising the CPA. Because each and every time I talk, then he nods the head.
Shaking
for what? Because to me, it's another meaning that what I'm talking is not correct. If someone talks, then I just start to think. Then what does that mean? Then the other thing, to act as a committee, there is no CPA executive. There's no CPA executive. The interim is a temporary structure. It's like an ad hoc committee that are being appointed to do this specific task. After the verification, their work is final. Then we must go to the AGM to elect the CPA executive. If you are saying you are transparent, what is it that you mean? Just clarify. The issue of the dividends, members have talked about it. The issue of the trip to China. How many members went to China? At what cost? What were the terms of reference? Any feedback that has been given to the community? And who took a resolution that the executive must go to China? If there's a community resolution, if you can't respond now, you must provide that information to us. Of that resolution which was taken by the committee. Can we get a response on the issues raised by members?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will also plead with you that I will try to cover most of the questions that have been raised as noted here, which some of the question was raised by Honorable Sultana in terms of contradiction on my part
if I am still under oath, that I have acknowledged that there were two groups at the beginning. And I, as I mentioned that as well it is indicated on the constitution that Kanani Sweni and Maburaka has adopted the constitution. So on that note, it also talks to the membership, who are the members of the CPA. So it is also on the constitution that a person who is registered on the membership register as such is, which is the verification, it refers, is the member or they become the beneficiary as alluded by the department as well, that family trees were also done in verification. I also said that verification has now not yet concluded. So that process of the verification is about to be concluded and we have been given a date of end of February. So that becomes the
source. Because if you are saying verification, it will seem as if this is the first verification. It's a re-verification that will be concluded by end. Meaning that the verification was done, this is another verification. The re-verification will be concluded by the end of the month. Tomorrow, when is
So therefore, that concludes the list of verified members, Madam Chair. Another question which was raised by Honorable Robertson, that Mr. Perisambo appear on several committees. Where does he belong? I think in terms of the verifications that are submitted and are assets of the department, so that's where maybe the spillage or loophole where people will end up going on this one and that one. So if that can be tightened on who are eligible to be members of a CPA or a trust and have rights to claim on a certain land. Hence, we see some of those names appear on our site. Meanwhile, he has another CPA that is running in the provincial park. So if that can be fixed, it won't happen in that way. And trip to China, which I think the committee and the lawyer have noted as well that when they do their submission, it has to be on that information if it was undertaken. But to my knowledge, that was the department's initiative. So in China, people were invited throughout the whole country, those who are doing certain work in different areas. So it was a number of people who were there. It was not Wanzamari CPA that undertook a trip to China, accompanied by the department official. And the deputy minister was also part of that trip. So if ever there is any spending from the community side, then please make note that that appear on any submission, but however, that was the government initiative. In terms of a hall of 18 million that can cost 800,000, I would ask my colleagues as well here to make note of that and also put it clearly that this is the spending of the hall. As I mentioned previously in one of the sittings, that 18 million, I don't even know where it comes from, but I did get the information that it came from our members. However, that needs to be put in writing as well to say how much did it
cost. In terms of how much do we call, do we pay the legal advisor? It is a norm everywhere where you have a legal team. So there is a rate, there is certain hours, certain work completed, and all of that. So if ever such information also can be also included into that report.
But we'll get that detail. But you know how much are you taking the advice of a man? If it's a man or we can be charged. Just to clarify that, because the society is according to the symbol. There is no look back up. If you're paying five grand, if you're paying one child or a day or just it.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Payments are done per invoice. So, okay, I'll give you an example. We had a lot of cases. If you see some of, we had a case where Intercapital, a company known as such, took us to court and was suing the CTA an amount of 50 million rand, whereby some of the members of the CPA went behind and signed agreements with those companies without any knowledge of the community. Therefore, that lawsuit came to us and we had to defend it in court. So such payments to legal teams will become more. So the settlement on that one was an amount of 500,000. And if you see all the cases where we are involved, it's only one individual who's costing the city a lot of money in terms of legal advice, legal fees. One Mr. Matebula who went and signed those documents, one Mr. Matebula who now taken the CPA, including the department to court. So all those fees, legal advice will invoice you for the work done. So in terms of the rate, I will plead with you, Madam Chair, that I will get that information and get submitted to you in terms of if it's an hour or a week. But I'm giving an indication of how much people take the CPA and are members of the CPA to court and cost the CPA a lot of money. Madam Chair, I hope I clarified some of it. I see Mr. Mbuni nodding as well. Madam Chair, as I'm on that, trying to clarify all of the information that has been raised. In terms of the bursary policy,
I was asking the one with Virginia. We have appointed Virginia. So now we want to respond to all the questions. When I spoke about Virginia, I was dealing with that way. But when providing bursary, he said, which tools is she using? Because there's a complaint out today that you are being selective. What tool are you using to provide such?
Thanks, Madam Chair. The bursary programs application, I have an application form that goes out to the students and has all the terms and conditions of the bursary.
The students and salary,
yes, specifically. It is to the Devon community.
Including
correct. But as far as I know, it is 11 villages that are
sometimes you talk of Mwandamari community, you involve Mubarak. Sometimes you're talking of Mwandamari, no, in Shanghai. So that's a contradiction. You contradict yourself. Now Mubarak is not part of you, of this. When once they are part of this, their children can benefit. Just a lot of confusion.
I can continue. Madam Chair, I apologize for any confusion on that respect. However, I'm sure I'll stick to exactly how the bursary policy works. it is applicable to students in 11 villages and designated villages with a specific name. And it is open to anyone in those villages. And the criteria that are set for the virtual program, there are standards that need to be met, and also a commitment of contact with students to accept and, in terms of their commitment to undertaking the study. So in terms of restrictions, there are, it's group eligible. It's not hand-picked. It's definitely designated by the names of the 11 villages.
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to ask the director of the China trip, just to communicate that there is a relationship where the department has various programs and has exchanges. And so as part of the settlement of the claim, there were opportunities where the community outside of the area that asked for game farming where they could farm. So there was an issue around assisting the community to set up a hydroponic and the like. And so the minister at that time, because there was a trip which was going to China of various communities and government, that the community of Sananiswen and in fact not at the time people were rich, rich that they should nominate to go on this trip, which was a state sponsorship. I am aware, however, that in the financials, the CPA allocated additional resources for the people who were going. And so that's what the community were asking us in terms of, did we not provide for the trip? And the answer was yes, government provided for the trip. So whether then they paid additional for the trip, we don't know. But at that point in time, the people were nominated, and it was them as a committee who decided who was going to go, and that trip was covered by the state.
This is a
little
treasure.
Sorry, Chair, just the issue about advisors. Really, let me just call you colleagues. You really so dishonest with us on the issue of. Just to say that you have an advisor getting paid, like, you know, it's so difficult to really share information. It's gross dishonest. You must not do that. Be adult, be mature, be open, be transparent, be free, be at peace with yourselves and with everyone else about information, you know. But just on that, Chair, why do you propose to check on the next issue? But the issue about the advisors, what they get paid. Although I am shocked, Chair, that the same advisor advises on a legal route and then it looks like again executes. So they call it throwing the javelin. Advise on a legal route and then go and execute that legal route. It's an anomaly in public administration. Don't do the same wrongs as you want. I don't know in law. Yes, you call it conflict of interest again in law. But there's also another advisor to the CPA. I would have thought that, Chair, the leg of answering the thing about advisor can't be complete without talking about the other advisor. And then, Chair, we can follow your... But that information was outstanding, so the other advisor, so now, especially again, you get your 40,000 back. We can, me and you can combine, I also get my 40,000. Then we can have 80 something together. But then the other legal advisor, the other one got 500,000. There was some case she was following. Yeah, he said so, under oath. Yeah. She got 500,000 in one other case that he was following. That's what he said, he's under oath. Then the other legal advisor, you want to answer for your own fixes, or you'd rather have someone else answer your...
I'm happy to answer if the Chair would allow me. So just to correct you, the 500,000 that was mentioned, if you listen, maybe if you look at the tape, you will see that the reference is made to the settlement but not the legal fees. So what, and if I am mistaken, you can... Okay. Yeah, but I think it was explained in the context of the work that the attorney was doing, and I think that was why the background was given and maybe why you misunderstood the legal settlement between the parties as the amount of money paid to the attorney. On the issue of the attorney, I think it must be said that the comments made by the UDM honourable member is very regrettable and inaccurate about the attorney of the community. There cannot be a more honest attorney in South Africa who has spent more than three decades, or the last three decades, working on social justice.
In a way. I will respond to what the gentleman indicated or to the questions that have been posed to you.
So, in answering his question regarding my role, I was appointed by
the. You are able to talk for ourselves, you are able to raise whatever that you want to raise. Can you please focus on the questions that have been directed to you, not just on other people? Yeah. Otherwise, you will not stand the heat.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So my role as the advisor to the CPA is to assist the Communal Property Association in its endeavours to be a responsible, accountable, and an effective communal property association. And so if you look through the presentation that was circulated, my involvement started about 6 months ago, and the purpose of my involvement was to assist with an institution building that dealt on the one end with a facilitation of the strategic planning process. I think we made reference to the broad strategic goals of the NCPA.
There are certain rules here. We're not in some talk show. There are questions raised here that you will appreciate. If the chair didn't tell you at one, we should have been out of here. We've got next table to talk to the deputy president in the next 50 minutes or so. Now you're going all over through your chair. We were asking a specific question about emoluments accruing to the other advisor. It happens to be yourself. You wanted to ask, to answer your own self. It's highly regrettable because the committee which accounts to the department should be the one to ask, should be the one answering. Yourself is a denier. Now you're going all over, you're defining the scope of duty, whatever. This is not the question. The question is how much is paid to the other advisor. It's a figure, it's a numbers question. Literally.
10,000?
My apologies. I answered your question to be what is my role and how much do I earn. So I have a 6 month contract, 35,000 rand per month, and where I have very clear deliverables to achieve, and that is can be made available also to the committee.
Just a follow-up. Yeah, man, there's a lot of money left. Can you just tell me, you are an advisor to the CPA. Which CPA? The community or the executive? The interim?
So, I was appointed by the executive, but the work of the community, my involvement, and the key performance areas include not only work around the executive, but also include an impact on the broader CPA, not just the executive.
That's interim. CPA, which is wasting money like this. Nobody's business. Instead of people benefiting, they choose to appoint people not knowing what it is that they are supposed to do. You advise an interim structure, which its task was to do verification, nothing else. It's advice for what? Because if there was an advisor, the department can capacitate that the CPA executive to do whatever for them to comply with the CPA
with the CPA Act, but that interim structure, which is wasting money like nobody's business, that is why people are hungry there, people are crying there, they others didn't even get a cent. But there are people who are getting 40, 50,000, 35,000 per month. You don't understand what is it that they are doing. It's very painful. It's painful for those Bobos and Kudus who were crying while we're there. Because that interim is wasting money. You can't understand what is the advice for. An interim structure has got those powers, such powers. Yo.
Thank you, Chair. Somewhat was the end of the CLCC's presentation is an observation or a recommendation that this process must be altered. I strongly suggest that we go that route now, not on another day. And I would rather be late for the start of the question and answer session at 3 o'clock than not make sure that we do that now. We can't have someone earning 210,000 rands. One has got to ask what assessment was meant to say that he is the only one in Mpumalanga who qualifies for that, for an interim structure. 210,000 rands in the space of 6 months. What for? What's the value? Has any report been submitted finally to the department? For what? And as for the my remarks about the attorney, I still stand by my view, irrespective of our your fear. It's based purely on her performance today. Not 30 years experience or anything. I might love the fact that one can repeat a mistake over 30 years, of course. There's also that possibility. You have incongruent experience. That is also another problem. But that's not where I am. But I'm talking about the fact that you're making a face even more ashamed now of yourself if you say 30 years or something like that. And then that attorney cannot read and interpret expansively the word financial when asked to come. It's all the more qualifying to my statement that you know, she should be taken off the road. There is no value that the CPA and therefore the members of the committee are getting from their services. If a clear invitation from Parliament says financial and then comes here to give us a verbal. Finance is finance, it's not a verbal thing. We need a verbal here. So I'm judging here on her non-performance, her performance as of today. Add to the fact that we invited these people when we were there to the 6th of November and they chose not to come. Now, 3 months later, this is what we must look at. We can't go with that. Chair, let's just cut this limb and go straight to the recommendations. Finish and clap. We'll be running around here the whole day. We're done with the morning. Now, certainly into the afternoon. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Chair. Thank you. I really appreciate it. A small one. Say, we would like to ask your competences and your whatever. From how you were wanting to explain your scope, you are free to add that. Shall we get that information by Monday, including your competences? With my grade 2 competence, the grade 2 school is in fact being during our age, I would know that you were delving so much into the scope of organizational development. They call it OD. So when you talk about your competences, kindly reflect on your OD expertise and proof if needs be, so that you don't have a committee resolution that says, we must inquire into it. Just try and preempt it and prove it and be very comfortable and true to yourself about it. Because that's what you were drawing up into, and we want to go into what you were drawing up into. Because your competence, your scope seems to be advising OD issues, stress plan and all that to the to the interim CPA. So please do that. Chair, I support Honorable Kintane. Better part of what we wanted, I think we got. It would have been nice if we had not wasted half a day, Chair. I'm not closing anything, Chair, with due respect. On people who we had visited in November. But let's wait half a day. And Chair, with due respect, my last day, it is so unfortunate and regrettable that people who ask a simple thing, they cannot give a simple answer. I mean, on official information, how much more on personal information? On official information, better part of the information we ask, we never got. And really support my colleague in sitting down, honorable sitting down, that it is very regrettable. Incompetences were shown. Demographics of advisors, where are the women? Where are the people who constitute majority in the Mpumalanga, in South Africa, in your advisors? Do you turn the other route when you got to look at advisors? And I dare ask, demographics of advisors, while me in the new South Africa, 25 years now, ready and starting to campaign now, Mala CPA, whether you're legitimate or not, demographics of your advisor, it doesn't ring a bell to you. It doesn't ring a bell to you. Do you have confidence that issues of transformation will be advised on? I don't. Thank you.
When we hear the treasure of the interim CPA on the money that has been transferred, how will those money used, for what, who benefited, and also the chairperson, I think they must come to the court. The money.
Thank you. I don't have the document now. But what are we going to do? We're going to send it.
So, Chair, who should be given a chair by one of the people who sent it there? Please, it's only given.
I
don't
know.
Now, but we make the document available to you for how much the money was spent on what, everything would be in written document.
But the invitation was said, we want this and that. But all of a sudden you don't have the document, you don't have the information. Why are you here? You are still wasting money for those beneficiaries again, to fly, to accommodate yourself. Because if you say you don't have any documents, why are you here? Because the invitation was here. It means that there's something wrong happening. Major things are happening there. That is why you hide the information, you don't want to give the information. Because really, if the invitation is here, except the presentation from the CNCC, the presentation from CPA Jefferson, then if we're talking of finances, what are we talking about? We're talking of time and rent. How much has been transferred to you? How did you use that money? Was there any community resolution that has been taken? Then how did people benefit from that? But if you're saying you don't have information, that they had also said that in, just tell me, what is it that you were planning to tell us today? From Mala to here, just to tell us that you don't have information.
I just want to check with my sister, because we may be saying lots of things to the treasurer when the treasurer was told 2 days ago that we are going to do that. When were you told about this meeting? And what preparations did you make when you come?
Honorable Robertson?
I'll wait until she's answered before I speak to subsequently. Thank you.
I was told to come to the that we have to come here, but the presentation, I thought it was from Louis, not from me. Because now the money is in the trust account.
But there was money that has been transferred. We're told that there was money that has been transferred to the CPA. If you are the treasurer of the CPA, you're supposed to give us the report about that money which was transferred. I think when was making the presentation, he indicated that there was money that was transferred from the trust account to the CPA account, as per the directive of the CPA. We wanted to find out from you as the person, because now Nina Banketa is the interim structure, but Ms. Nigel, there are other responsibilities. The one who over the wall is money. I mean, the 1211 is money. The first question was, where did the money come from? And how much has been spent? How much does this one cost? The first because there was a presentation also from the deputy chair about the allocation to households. 250 households. If I just try to put the household, who the household, but for it, so that we are over 30, we are doing our job. That is why we are here. That is why we are here.
On the distribution, I can say from 2015, the 10,000, it amounts to 2,500,000, the total amount for the 250 households. And for 2016, the 60,000, it amounts to 15 million. Then 2017, the 30,000 amounts to 7,500,000.
Out of how much? You have been told Malini. How much of it is been told Malini? That is the future Malini, Kwasala Malini, infrastructure, Kwasoni upgraded any upgrading, and my country is very poor. Please,
I think we are going to submit that in our audited financial statement.
But I will conclude this matter and make so when the matter is made about this one, the findings and also the comments. Because there's nothing that we're going to get, we'll be wasting time to answer this. Can the interpreter and not the interim?
We're working together with the treasurer to tell us
about
the operation of the CPA.
All right, thank you very much for the question on the sidelining of the other member to participate in the meeting. So, those who said we are transparent, those members who were verified are only the members who can get to participate in our meeting. So, but the purpose of the security, why the security is for the safety, because most of the time when we are having a meeting, those who were verified, they came and said in that meeting. So
and
that's why.
Yeah. You are the deputy chair.
Deputy chair.
Yes, I said that you're working with the
chair.
I said the chair. And also clarify another issue of security. Would he mention in Sabah in the beginning of security? Umahabendama meeting. Security is not enough. In a community meeting, go in the security. Security for what? Umahabendama who met the people and admit that there's something that is wrong, but let the chaplain come forth.
Sorry, Chair. You see, sir, there's this book. I know you're not familiar with it. I definitely know. You see, there are certain things that you may not do. When the chair is talking to the chair of the, you can't be doing those things that you were doing. It was very conspicuous, you know. And you'll appear on camera, but the whole nation will look at this gentleman who's busy in this very, very, very annual council. You saw yourself doing that, stretching all the way beyond that other man to the chairperson of the. You're not supposed to do that, sir. Please tell me, thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, cabinet committees and chair the formal interview of the chairperson or interim committee.
What is the chairperson of the interim committee?
Madam Chair, you made a short while ago, it didn't feel well, so it sent me a message to say you're going back to the hotel. And I think you tried to talk to the Palestinian community, I just didn't forget it again. I think you tried to tell them, sorry, but I'm the only one in
there. You're doing what you did in Malamala, taking this committee for granted. You are being part of the meeting, you don't apologize. You don't apologize, just me.
No, he did send me a message. Sorry, really.
No, not you, a message. This is our meeting.
Yeah.
We invited him to come here. He has spent money for the community to come here. Now he apologized, not accounting, going back to the hotel. That is what I'm saying. Yo. What is happening? Those beneficiaries were true, what they were saying. Now we can see at the committee that there's something wrong. It can't be. It really can't be. And I'm not going to allow this.
Thank you very much, Chair. Again, in this green book, Ms. Lawyer, you're not supposed to take pictures. No. I didn't say you took pictures. I was just advising, and I know it's a correct advice. The situation is so pathetic. I suppose you can be the wrong legal advisor that he's the one who leaves deposing of your affidavit at whatever stage, the very same person who doesn't feel well and bad. And supposing the correct that this could turn into a litigation, you'd be the one who'd be again deposing an affidavit about a meeting which he left unceremoniously in the correct English way. How he left and smacked of that kind of but like Chair is saying, I just want you all to get a clear impression that it's not a Chair, it is all of us. We are united in being ashamed at your behavior. You're not behaving like people who are holding millions and millions of public monies. You are dispensing jobs to those who prepare. And Chair raised the issue about Evening Bursary. But like you suggested, Chair, that you are ultimately towards the end, we put your treasurer on mic. Poor treasurer didn't even know the amount in charge, what amount it is. One day treasurer will shall be free, or a treasurer who is sitting in your shoes will be free to know the amount. If you remember yourself, you're on record saying you don't know the amount that is in charge, and then and all that.
we just need to be unequivocal to tell you that the way you are following, if by the end of our term, you will not get away far with this. With Derek, there was a correct word you looked at. It's like you are failing and you keep looking at the show. The correct word was to solve everything, democratize, unite with people, shake hands, clean, start on a clean slate, find each other, you'll have a very peaceful sleep that day. You're a professional, but the situation you are entangled in, Big Brother, is completely, completely unacceptable. How can anyone come all the way with taxpayers' money and dodge in the middle of the meeting? He's the leader of delegation in all theory and in all practice. The leader of delegation lives without even the courtesy of sending a message to the chair. But also, let's look at the legal advisor. All has been done is dead right or to be fired. Someone would not well, what does someone would not well do? He or she goes to the medical for medical attention, not to the hotel. Someone who's not well goes for medical attention, doesn't go to the hotel. But this gentleman, and some of the gentlemen, shame to men, some of us distance ourselves from that behavior. This gentleman decides to go back to the hotel to sleep. Someone who's not well, for your information, I've been to the clinic here. I've got some pain somewhere in the joint. And I was there and came back. You know, if you are not well, you have a pain or something, you go for medical attention. But this good lawyer tells us that this person left and sent and left a message with an advisor. So we hire these advisors to be our principal. Shame with them. Shameful, shameful, shameful. You can't hire advisors and account to advisors. You are shaming all of us. Advisors will look at us and think that all of us can be taken like for granted like that. An advisor is hired to advise. An advisor must have respect. An advisor must account to you, not the other way. The chairperson account to the advisor. Send an SMS. Were you aware where your chairperson who left? When? You were definitely not aware. One way or the other, something tells me that rather than going to prison, because if you follow this route, chair, if you follow this route, put them, your kids will be very, very ashamed of your mistakes. Maybe you must really hit the Damascus. Now I don't know anything about the Bible, but I've heard about the Damascus. I know the Damascus. You must really hit the Damascus, Big Brother, sort out all those things there, and find a way to do things in a correct manner. Like the chair says, we buy in, we associate. We can never accept what we see. It's a very, very ugly picture. With millions of money, it's just very regrettable under our watch. Thanks.
The Deputy Chair, in your response, the chairperson has run away. Your response is being denied.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Okay, for the, as I said, the transparent, we do not sideline anyone who is fine. Those who said they are sidelined, they were not verified. The list that we are talking about, the 900 CDs, those are the list when they entered in the meeting where the date we had the minister. That was not a verified list. Even that list, some, their age is running out around 1980. So the verified list, that was the ODI and also the members of the family. So that one was not the verified list. It's only the side for Mkhamari Sweri that was verified. But the other side for Maburaba was not verified. It's now that they started to be verified. So on the other side, those who said some others when not for the what we inside the our the Mkhamari Sweri. So some of the
we're not talking about the Mkhamari Sweri. We're talking about Mwanda
Mwanda
Mwanda.
Yeah, because on the other side, there are those who are there, but it's only for the Madam House. For those who were said to be the side land is on the other side, for the western side. We are talking about for the Mabura people. Those were not in their side. That is the my
yeah.
Another question? Chair, thank you. Just going back to procedural, a procedural question. Everybody's talking about the Maguraka that are being verified now, the names are being verified. What does that mean if the verification is in fact positive and they are in fact included to the Wankamari CBA? Financially, what does that mean to them? Because there's been a 73 million rand payout. Or 75.3 million rand payout to the CPA, whether it's the lawyers or whatever. What is the progress? What is the plan going forward with regards to those members if they are positively identified or verified? Do they get compensated now suddenly from money which they're going to get where where they were supposed to have been compensated primarily? So the question actually comes down to a procedural question: how is it that this amount of money has been spent, not only by Marla Marla, who, in my opinion, has stuck to their side of the deal. How is it that state money has been verified without being spent without the proper verification taking place?
That's one question to the verification list that you are making is the same verification list that the department has. Then I will ask the sales office to just come and ask it. The 250 this has been the 960. Whether the 960 that you're talking about were not verified. Because if the deputy chairperson is saying those who are not allowed to come into the meetings are those who are not verified, especially the Mufaraga, those are on the western side. But in their constitution, the western side is part of their constitution.
Sorry, I'm Honorable Chair. Just to ask again, what will happen if the beneficiaries are verified? Is there going to be financial compensation just and equitably as opposed to what the Tangani Sweni CPA have already received as members?
Hello, Madam.
Thank you.
Thank you, Professor, and the meeting. When I look at this litigation, Professor, some of them are older than myself. Chairperson, I would therefore appeal to the delegation to think about people first before themselves. Because one day you'll be in for it. Because life has short legs. Thank you.
Thank
you, Honorable Chairperson. I will talk on the list that we used when we went for the AGM, what was supposed to be AGM on the 22nd of October. The procedure when we were there with the IEC was that we wanted the people that are in this list that I'm having to sit in order. When we got there, we read the list from 1 to 906. For the whole day up until meeting, we were reading the list. And when we were reading the list, there were voices that were saying, that is Maguraka. Because Maguraka never attended the meeting. It didn't come because they had said they were friends.
So we wanted to make sure everyone that is in the MLS was in the AGM. And we discovered in that AGM that Mavorakatuku was not in. So for me, the fact that Mavoraka was never verified is shocking here in this committee room, because we have a list that we are using as the verified list of the MLS, which includes
the report according to the Deputy Chairperson, which list are you using?
Okay, for the verified list, what I said, on that list, according to the verified, it also indicated the farm that you are coming from. So for the other side that I said, Mavuraka were not verified. Indeed, were not verified. Even when you look at the difference between Mahuraka and us, even the time they were the removed outside, they different. From other party, we call it that in Kamanchen, they were removed around 1958, before Mahuraka.
We don't want history, Deputy Chairperson. Yes. Derek has given us the history. What you are saying, which list are you using? Because the verified list that the department is having is different from your list with figure of 215,960. Which one did you take, this one, and just check those people who are from Changamisweni and left those who are from Mubaraka who have been verified?
Okay, the list that we used, it was from Changamisweni, the verified list from Changamisweni.
Where did you get that list? Because the department has got a different list.
Okay, we get it from the former treasurer. Because he was one who was the pioneering on that time when the list was verified.
The former treasurer is Derek.
Yeah.
Derek, where did you get that list?
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair. To clarify on this one, like the Deputy Chair mentioned, that 906 was an attendance registry when the land was bought. So the verification of Mhlanganisweni was done in 2009 by the department. I did mention this. Any verification list is an asset of the department. So before anything and everything is done, a research report is supposed to be in place, a verification is supposed to be in place, and in 2009 that verification was completed. Afterwards, there was never any other list. We went to the department and wanted a Mavuraka verification.
My question is just specific. Where did you get that list of 250 that were handed over to your brother, who is the chairperson of the interim CPA? Where did you get it? Is this the same one that the department is having? Where did you get the 250? Did you make the verification yourself, or you get that list from the department?
The list comes from the department. The department has a company that did verification from Changamisweni called Mabedi in 2009. That was hired by the department, paid for by the department, and that was the verification list that has been used. It comes from the department. The CPA or the community never done any verification of themselves, because this is an asset of the department. Thank you, Chair.
So if it's an asset of the department, why are you using your own list disregarding the verification list of the department?
Madam Chair, as I repeat myself again, that was never recognized as a verification list because it was an attendance register.
Honourable members, I indicated when we were in Malamala that the cause of the problem was Derek. Derek is the source, is the cause. We need to be honest. Is the cause of this whole problem. Because this thing, it seems as if it's a family thing. It's a family matter. It has been started by my mother, then I have to continue. Brother, sister, Wenya, Mabila, Nguni, Tunguni thing and whosoever thing. The issue of nepotism, that was we were told about when we were in Malamala. And I said to Derek, Derek, you were the cause of this. You started this problem. Go and meet with those people and provide a solution to the problem. Now you are crying in front of us. There's this legal route that has been taken, whatever. We advise you. I gave you an advice when you left there. We advise you as this community that there is like the cause of all this. Because you are the reference, the player, you are sitting in the CPA, you are sitting in the board, you are sitting in the committee member. Now you are everything in the whole process. And what is worrying? You are misleading these elderly people. Because wherever you go, you grab them to come with you, to protect you. In the middle of another, they are going to protect you. Here we are not looking at the age, we are looking at the fact. What is being presented to us? I feel pity for these poor elderly people. But I never say the just to put it about the other day, they mismatch. The chairperson has run away. Why? Question mark. It's a shame. Deputy Minister, you have listened. There is a story, Malamala story. There's a lot of things happening.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry I'm standing up for that. I think, I just want to say, without returning the English, but I need to hold an account there for another month.
I don't understand that.
We've got a letter on it to you. And probably it's right that Manamana is exploded. We can only appreciate the oversight role played by this committee here on this particular issue. I do not know, Chair. I don't know what I created just after the day. It seems to me that Malamala, particularly with the people present here, needs a day or two. So, but I am excited that the committee will at least deliberate and decide on the proposal of the senior citizen. And the simple answer would really be, if there are people who have been excluded, logically they have to be compensated if they are beneficiaries, you know, the issue is why. And Lord Chair, why I'm saying that it has to explode in all aspects, it also relates to the question that the Honourable Director was asking. I have a difficulty with the sense and all those. This thing predates, in fact, I think even Minister Hood, Minister Chuba, you know. But one thing, it was really shocking hearing about it, you know, in the relationship they have. But one has been convinced to many brothers to complain about the nobility of the intention of the government in relation to this issue. But what has happened is, and I now really understand why even Honorable Obasi throughout the years has been consistent about this particular issue, clearly. And we have no reason to believe that on our part, deliberately as government, that we have been part of any Mustafa type of thing here. But if any, it has to be laid back. Unfortunately, really have been requested to you. Unfortunately, but part of what can affect a lot of Mugabatsi is here on page 2 in relation to the process of this legislation. Unfortunately, I have the president of the ANC, not of the country, at 3 in Kainichi. We want to try and make sure we come there with a stronger majority to solve the Malamala of this issue.
Honourable Chair, just to re-emphasize, my stance and my party's stance was never ever challenging Mala Mala and never ever challenging land reform. It was never ever that. The reason why I've asked for this was because on the agreements or some of the suggestions made by the land reform, by the CLCC, it was denounced saying that we lacked the budget to be able to spend that amount of money on one deal. So it's always been about financial constraints. So that's what it's about. There's no allegations of Bosasa Gate or Mala Mala Gate yet. I need to get clarity why everybody's
done. We have been doing what they're supposed to do the
overtime.
Thank you. Honourable members, we listened we listened to the structures of the 15th and 16th of November 2018. We also listened to the delegation today on the 27th of February. I just want to make it to remind the delegation about this, about the following. Number one, it has been clear to us that you try to hide the information, some of the information from us. And if someone hides something, it means that it's something that is not going well. It means that now it has come to our attention that what the beneficiaries were saying in that meeting was correct. We've seen even by the action of the chairperson of the interim committee who just disappeared. Coming to the meeting, you just disappeared, go back to the hotel. That is the attitude that you're showing to this committee, the attitude that you're showing also to the beneficiaries. Secondly, we have agreed that we have to send this information to the committee. The financial report and the audit report must be presented to this committee. I've read you the powers that we have as per the Powers and Privileges Act, that you have got the right to summon the information. Then you must consider the issue of the lawyer's performance. That one, I think, it must also be considered by the CLCC. The 200 beneficiaries, these have been the 950 beneficiaries, which caused confusion. The minutes of the CPA that indicates that money is paid into the trust to be paid into the CPA account, and how were those money accounted for? I think the treasurer will assist us with that one. We are saying no funds must be transferred from the trust to the CPA until this matter of the CPA is resolved. The information on the structure that caused the 18 million that we heard about, and the resolution that has been taken by the committee, by the community, that will need that particular structure, because the committee can't do whatever that they want with the community money. That money belongs to the whole community. If there's something that is supposed to take place or to be spent on, then the community must take a resolution that we want this for this particular purpose. We need this structure. The issue of the trip to China has been clarified, but you want to know the addition, the money that has been taken out of the CPA fund to top up on what the government has paid for. We want to get the bursary policy, the names of the students who benefited, the amount that were paid to them, and the institutions and the courses that they are doing from 2015-16-17. We want to know. That information must be provided to us. The advisor to the CPA to submit a detailed report on his expertise, his role and responsibilities, and also his salary in writing. I think after that, the advisory services must be considered. And action must be taken, a resolution must be taken to just consider whether there is a need for that wasteful expenditure, because to me it's a wasteful expenditure.
Are there additional information that must be submitted to the committee before Monday, as we agreed, so that when you finalize and make recommendations that will be changing in the House concerning the status of Malamala, we have that information. We don't want to experience war in that area, because all the people whose names were used to get that land back, now they are being sidelined. At the end of the day, they will react. So we don't want to reach that situation. A resolution must be taken. Lastly, that, honorable members, I think we need to give the CLCC we need to support the proposal presented by the CLCC. We tried that they must engage the community, they must engage the committee and try to sit down around the table. Derek, as well, indicated that we try to sit down and resolve the issue, but it means that nothing is being done. Then the route that the CLCC is proposing, we support that route, that better the matter must be taken back to court for those people, for this issue to be rightfully clarified. But currently, no funds must be transferred from the trust fund to the CPA account. But we'll make those recommendations to the House for the House to take a resolution, and the resolutions of the House are binding. And we are sure that the information that has been presented, because Mr. Mthabeni has taken an oath towards the correct and the truthful information, that will also assist us in making our recommendations and also in finalizing our report. Thank you very much. Honorable members, the report has been circulated. Next week we'll be dealing with Malamala report, we'll be dealing with the Canada report, we'll be dealing with the League Action report. Can you please go through the report? Next week we just comment input on the report so that we finalize and adopt those reports. Thank you very much to our guests, to the beneficiaries, safe trip back to Malamala, for Malama province, which is the province of the Rising Sun. CFCC, thank you very much to Zanella and the team. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.